saved us. He's redeemed us. He's cleaned us up. And he's given us a home on high. Amen. A home in heaven. A home that this world can't pollute. This world can't corrupt. This world can't destroy through its sin and its evil and everything else. And praise God, I can't wait to go there. We need to sing a chorus. Let's sing it verse 4 one more time.
Onward to the prize before us, soon is beauty.
Are you glad to be in the house of God this morning? Amen. I'm thankful that we've come out again just to spend some time with Jesus and to let him come by and stir our hearts and souls together. Amen. I'm glad he stops by when I'm alone and there's no one else around and I call upon him and I need him and he shows up and he just does something in my life and my heart and he just stirs me in a way that only he can. But he said when two or three are gathered together in his name, he'd be in the midst.
Yes,
praise
sir,
God.
Preacher.
He's been in our midst since Friday night. Amen. We have had a great time in the Lord, and I'm looking for a great time this morning. Some of you, as I look back there, say, man, hey, how's he so happy this early in the morning? I tell you how. Jesus. Amen. It's
yes,
all about Jesus.
Sir.
Hey, some of you look like, well, I just wish I could have got a few more hours sleep. Brother Polk, he done drove about an hour just to get here. Amen. So he had to get up earlier. He told me he don't even know what he's preaching. I said, that's the best way to get in the pulpit. I've been the same way.
Yes, sir.
Because then it's all
go
Jesus.
Ahead,
amen. And you say, well, it's just in right. We should be having Sunday school. Amen. We are. Amen. We are. Just a great time in the Lord. Amen. Brother Obie, would you open us up in a word of prayer, and then we're going to turn everything over to Brother Polk for a little bit here.
And there might be a few of you in here that have heard it, but I know that most of you haven't. And changed my life. James chapter 1. I want to encourage you this morning. We'll turn there, but let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us. And we'll get going. Father, thank you for your goodness, for all your mercy and your grace. Lord, you sure are good to us beyond measure.
Amen.
We don't deserve 1 ounce of your grace. But Lord, I'm glad that you described it like you did. It's unmerited. Lord, knowing that it's coming that way, I don't have to worry about trying to deserve it. But Lord, you just bestow it upon me in your goodness. And Lord, that's just to lift your name up to magnify you. Lord, we bow before you with a humble and broken, contrite spirit. Lord, seeking your will, your face this morning. Lord, we want you to work a mighty work in our hearts. Father, that we'd walk out the doors this morning changed, different for the cause of Christ. Lord, that your name might be lifted up. Bless us this morning. Forgive us of the sin, the iniquity that's bound in our hearts. And God, just help us to confess. Lord, because we know that you're faithful and just to forgive. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 1. I'll fill you in here in just a little bit. But let me get rid of some of these other notes where I thought I was going to be. Otherwise, they'll be all over the place. And we just need to get rid of some stuff here. So, all right, this will work. James chapter 1. Can I just read you something quick? You turn to James chapter 1, and I'll tell you why I wanted to be in Jonah. There's a lot to be there. Jonah chapter 4, it was. In verse 2, the Bible said, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before into Tarshish. For I knew that. If we would get this thought in our head, if we would know, if we would have the assurance, the confidence, and put all of our chips in on this right here, this is what Jonah knew to be true. Thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. This is the best part. And repentest thee of the evil.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what's that mean? God's not evil. Listen, when God steps back, evil steps in. When you turn the light out, the darkness comes.
Amen.
In other words, God longeth to draw near to you, but he wants you to draw near first. And Jonah knew that. But I can't stay there. Man, I can preach it. I want to go to James chapter 1. But that's why I wanted to be there. That would really help us. Amen. Yeah, but that does help us here in James chapter 1, if I can find it. Let's read James chapter 1 through verse 12. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James is a pretty cool book in your Bible. And it's unique because some say, and I don't know, but I believe them, but it's probably the first epistle that was written. If not, it's definitely one of the earliest, based on the content of the scripture. But you say, preacher, why does that have any importance to us this morning? Because I want you to understand something. You got to remember the dispensation has changed. Jesus Christ has already come. He's already died on the cross. He's risen from the grave. Salvation's complete. Amen? We're at a different time frame. And instead of looking in the shadow of things to come, we're looking back on the cross. So here we are, and we have the Jews, which were used, they were taught, their traditions, their customs, their belief were this shadow of things to come. So now you have a group of people, the Jews, the Christians, that were believing in Jesus Christ. They had accepted what John was preaching. They had accepted what Jesus preached. They were accepting what the apostles and the disciples were preaching. Here's James, and he's talking to these Jews that believed the resurrection. Now, there's something that's important with that. Because it's the first epistle, you got to put yourself in that time frame. What was happening? Look what the Bible says in James chapter 1. Verse 1 said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. In other words, James is saying this. He's putting us in the mindset, the attitude that the Jews had at the time. They were scattered for several reasons. One, they were scattered for persecution. In other words, the Jews, they'd already crucified their Savior. And they hung him on a cross, and they about beat him to death. And they scourged him, and they mocked him, and Stephen was stoned. And if we look at the testimony of those around, they were so persecuted that most of us would run and hide. And I think that he's using that. I think some of the Christians were scattered for that very reason. Not that they were fearful. I don't think that these Christians right here were scared for their life, that they didn't want to die. I think they were scattered for this reason. They were afraid that they would die and not be able to preach the gospel. They weren't trying to save their life because they didn't want to die. They were trying to save their life so they could be crucified with Christ in the way that they live. And James says, I understand the fact that you're scattered abroad. And then I believe they were scattered for this reason. When he said, go ye therefore in all the world. In other words, they didn't just hang close to the church house where it was safe. They weren't just around the brethren, but they purposely scattered themselves, the 12 tribes. So James is addressing all those that were scattered. So you got to keep that mindset in your heart as he's saying this. So when you're scattered and you're being scourged and in the trials and the temptations of your life because the enemy seeketh to devour you, to persecute you. James is writing the letter to those. James is writing this letter to you today. James is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost because God told him what to say. I need you to write James chapter 1 to help my Christian people as they walk for me. And they walk with me. And he says this. Look at this. Look at the attitude that we have in our tempting. Verse 2 says, my brethren. That's us. That's those that are saved. Those that are scattered. My brethren, count. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That word count just means to, let's just reckon it. Let's just put things in order like an account. Let's take into account or count what's going on with the temptations in our life. And then he says, look, count it all joy, which simply means this. And this will hurt you, man. He says, in your temptations, I want you to reckon this. Count it all joy. That just means a calm delight. I'm thinking, wait a minute. We're scattered because people are trying to kill us. We're scattered because of the persecution. We're scattered because it's just not easy living. And James says, if you'll grasp what I'm helping you with this morning, you'll learn how to have joy in your temptation. There's a calm delight when you fall, or when you're surrounded with diverse or various, several, or different temptations. That word temptations is experience of adversity. I'm like, what? Does he understand what it's like? Does he realize what it's like for me to have to live for Jesus? And he's trying to tell me, look, I want you to count it joy. Have a cheerful endurance, he said. And a calm delight. So he says, look, our attitude and our tempting, we need to be calm as we face our adversities. But look at the assurance we have in our trials. In verse 3, he says, knowing this. In other words, James is saying, you can have confidence in this. Have assurance that when you live for God, there's some things that you can count on. Know this, that the trying or the proving, it's like being put in a fire. And you know what fire is. Fire is always a purifier. When I work with steel in my forge, the hotter I get it, the more impurities come out. Gold, the more it's in the fire, the more it's purified. Listen, in your life, the more you're in the fire, the more you're purified. The cleaner, the more sin you'll just want to purge yourself of and just get rid of it in your trials. So James is saying, look, my brethren, he said the attitude you need to have in your temptations is to maintain a calm delight, having confidence, or knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh. In other words, he says, as you're being tried, or you're proving your faith, that it worketh or it performs. So now we know that there's an act. James is saying, if you allow this to happen, if you allow it to perform, that it worketh patience, cheerful endurance. You're like, man, so you're telling me that if I'm willing to go through the trials, right, with a calm delight, just stay calm, find it a delight. You know what I find delight in? Like ice cream. I find delight in a fishing pole on the side of a bank. You know what I'm saying? I don't find much delight in watching the Eagles play football. They work me up, man. I'm a natural born loser, right? But delight brings calmness to me. Calmness makes me want to take a nap and just brings joy and puts a smile on my face. It warms me up. My wife brings me delight. When I see her and I get home from work, I'm like, I'm home. She's a calm delight to me. He's trying to compare my trials to calm delight. He's like, it's joy. That just doesn't seem to make sense, right? So anyway, check this out. We have an attitude in our tempting when he says that we're to count it. We have an assurance in our trials when he says, know this. But look at verse 4. Look at the allowance in our testing. He says, but we're to let patience. Let the cheerful endurance, let it have its perfect work. In other words, that word perfect means a maturity. So James is saying, if we're going to experience this calm delight, this joy, we've got to let the trial mature. Most of us don't do that, preacher. Most of us get about knee deep into the swamp. We get into the muck and the mar, and we say, that's a little too deep for me. I'm out. And we never make it to the other side. We never let the work mature. We never have enough patience or calm delight to make it through to the other end. So he says, but let patience have her perfect work. Why? That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, James is trying to tell these early Christians, he says, listen, as you grow in God, as you mature, you're going to face adversity, you're going to face trials, but you've got to let them mature. You've got to face them. You've got to work yourself through them. The early Christians, the ones that are facing great persecution, listen, they've not been well established. There's not a lot of testimony yet. There's not a lot of scripture that's been written. You talk about living on faith. And James is writing this letter, one of the first, if not the first, epistles. And you know what his number one concern is? Proving your trials. You got to finish. You got to make it through. Don't stop halfway in the middle. So you're like, that sounds good. That sounds like good preaching. If I were to stop there, You'd say, okay, I'm going to try that, preacher, but how are you going to help me? But James already gave us the answer. Look what he says here in verse 5. I want you to see two things here. Look at the provision and the promise. If we're going to continue on in our trials, in our temptings, in our testings, listen to what the Bible says in verse 5. Look at the provision first. He says, if any of you lack. Now, how many have felt that before when you're serving Jesus? I feel like I lack. I don't feel like I really have what it's going to take to get through. You know, when I think of things like, who was I just telling the other day? When I think of faith and lacking, I think of David in the with the lion and the bear. I mean, did God deliver him? He did. But you know what? He really didn't. God didn't deliver him until after. You know, my Bible says that he delivered him out of the paw of the lion and out of the mouth of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. In other words, in order to get in there, David had to be overcome. Now, what if David would have never made it? He would have never been able to say, wow, look how God delivered me. What about Daniel? Did God deliver Daniel? I mean, really? No. Well, he did. But no. In my opinion, once he entered the stinking cave, it was over. Right? I would have said, God, you didn't deliver me. But he did. He shut the mouths of the lion. How about old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They said, well, God's going to deliver us. When if he doesn't, we're not bowing anyway. And there they are at the furnace, and I'm thinking, okay, God, if you're going to deliver, now's a good time. In the fire. Did God deliver them? No. Oh, yeah, he did. Because there was four of them walking around in the fire. Amen. See, it's not our deliverance. You know, we have a time and a place for deliverance. And we're thinking, okay, I'll go this far. And it just goes on and on in the scriptures. How many times has God said, listen, I need you to be overcome so you'll reach a point where you say, only God can deliver me at this point. Right? He's looking for this continuance with the provision. He said, but if any of you lack wisdom. So what's the provision when you need wisdom? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So God said, look, in order for you to mature and to make it through, you're going to need wisdom. That's the provision. And here's the promise. Look what he said in the end of verse 5, and it shall be given him. So God said, listen, you're going to need wisdom to make it. Guidance. I need you to see things from my point of view. And you know what? If you need that wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. But I'm not just going to give you a little bit, because I'm God, and I do things the big way, because I'm a big God. So you're trying to think, okay, I'm going to walk through this trial. Now, here's my trial. Here's the beginning of it, and over there's the end of it. And I'm going to do what James says. And James says, listen, I'm going to go through the tempting, the trials, the testings. I'm going to have good attitude. I'm going to count it, and I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to prove it. I'm going to know it, and I'm going to have assurance. I'm going to just let God through the thing. So here I go. But before I start, I'm going to need some provision. God, I need some wisdom to make it through here. And God says, oh, are you asking me for something? And then God says to the Holy Spirit, listen, my child down there is getting ready to go through a trial. And he just asked me to give him some wisdom. Now look, here's what's going to happen. He's going to get overcome. He's going to get so overcome that I'm going to have to deliver him. So don't just give him a little bit. Give him enough that he knows that he's got a sustainable amount. That'd be like if you're going for milk and bread, and it's, you know, it's $5 on the mark. And I say, here's $100. But brother, I only need $5 for milk and bread. Here's $100, just in case. That's what God's telling the Holy Spirit. And God's up here and he says, hey, Brother Polk's down there and he's fixed to go through a trial and he asked for wisdom, so pour it on him. I said, okay, the provision. But look at the condition. Verses 6 through 8, he says, but if I'm going to receive this wisdom, my goal is to make it through here. If I'm going to receive this, the Bible says, but let him ask in faith. That's a condition. And see, most of us want to say, I'll make it, God, you give me your wisdom, but you better show me. Give me some proof, because I don't know if I'm not going to walk by faith. Faith would be this. Wow. All right. See that nice guitar over there, right? We'll pick her guitar, right? Faith would be landing on the ground and saying, do you have faith that if I stand on your guitar, right, that it won't break? Be like, no, don't do that. Why? Because we know that just the sheer weight of my body on that guitar, something's going to snap. Right? And you'd say, just my everything that I know about geometry and just the fact that I'm fat is going to break that thing, right? But what if I didn't know really what was inside that guitar? What if it really wasn't what I thought it was? What if it was a solid piece of wood in there? That would kind of change things because I would know that. So what I would do, I'd come up here and I'd look at this guitar and I'd be like, oh, that thing's holler on the inside, right? So if I put my hand in there and I'm definitely going to break that thing. That's not faith. Or if I come up here and I said, no, that's just a painted hole. That thing's a solid piece of wood. Yeah, I'll stand on it. Is that faith? No, because I had to go up there and check it out. Faith would be like this, right? Meg, I'm going to stand on that guitar. Can I? You got to have faith. If it breaks, I'll buy you a new one. Show me the money. But faith would be this. Somebody puts it down. It says, just step on it. But, no, don't look at it. Don't see what's in there. Just to have faith. Just step on it. And you're like, yes. You're like, you'll never know until you bear your weight on it. And you put your foot on it like that. And then you're like, you're slowly putting the weight. And you're waiting for that first little, you know, I've done this before. Broke a guy's guitar. No, I'm just kidding. Put my foot on there, right? And then you get up there and you're like, that ain't too bad, right? So here's what God's trying to say. Listen, and if you're going to have faith, if you're going to ask me for wisdom to make it through the trial, you've got to start walking. You've got to start bearing weight. You got to start moving forward. And then it's like you've got to be willing to be overcome. But you're going to say, God, in order for me to progress, in order for me to move forward, I need wisdom. I need to know which way to go. But half of us, he says it like this. Here's a condition. We've got to ask in faith. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wait, hold on, I missed this. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith nothing wavering or staggering with unbelief. So God says, I'll give you the faith through the Holy Ghost if you'll just ask me. But don't ask with a wavering faith. I want you to have confidence. Don't test it. Don't inspect it. Don't look at it. Just trust me. Step forward in faith. He says, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You're just unstable. He said, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So here's what happens. Here's what we do. We're trying to walk with God, and we're like, okay, Lord, give me faith. And God says, all right, Holy Spirit, pour some faith out on him. Give him the wisdom. And the Holy Ghost gives us some wisdom, and we keep moving. We start to understand how God's working. And about that time, we start losing faith, right? And we start wavering. And we start looking to the side, and there stands all those things that Proverbs talks about on the corner. There she is. And we start losing faith, and we're like, man, I don't know if I can make it the whole way. I don't even know where the end is. I can't see the end. And you start losing faith, and you start wavering, like, I can't trust God, and you get off course. And you quit your trial, and you quit on God. And you get back here, and you're like, man, I don't know. Man, my faith's weak. And all of a sudden, you face another trial, another test, and you start moving. Okay, hey, God, give me some wisdom. And you get moving through it, and it starts to get thick. It starts to get heavy. And you forget to pray, and you forget to ask God, and your faith's getting weak. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you quit your trial. And he says, listen, you know why you don't have anything? You're not asking in faith. When are you going to trust me? See, what happens is we start walking with God and we start looking at the situation around us. And we start getting discouraged and defeated. And we're like, man, this trial's, it's getting hot and I'm starting to get purified. I don't like it. I don't like the testing that I'm going through. This is too hard. And I got to have faith to trust in God. And I just don't have the faith that it takes. And I quit. And that's the story of us. That's the typical Christian right there. We just quit in our trials. And then when we hear preachers preaching like, oh, preacher, man, I just want to make a decision for God. And we come up here and we get on the altar and we start praying. We give it to God and we start all over again. Here's another trial. And you say, man, how's Christian life? Man, it stinks. I have no joy. I'm always defeated. And listen, how did Peter make it on the water? How did David make it into the lions, or David make it out of the mouth of the lion, and Daniel in the lion's den, and all those characters in the Bible? How did Rahab have enough faith to trust? It's just like, that's not my life. And there's no happiness. You want to know why there's happiness in me? You know how many times I've walked there to the end? Listen, I want to show you something. There's a condition and a caution. He says we can ask in faith, but we can't be unstable. Here's what he says in verse 9. Look at the recognition. Here's what we have to do. See, because when as we start in this trials, we start living for God. We start trusting Him, right? Amen. We got to start recognizing that we can't do this on our own. And you say, well, you got the right personality. Well, you got the right talents. Well, you got the right abilities. You know, when you don't have the problems in your life that I do, you know what you're doing? You're trying to say, I can't do that. I can't do that, and I won't do that. And I don't trust God. And then you got, but you're somebody special. And here's the thing. We got to recognize this one thing. Here's what James is trying to say. Let the brother of low degree, in other words, the poor, he's talking about, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. What's that mean? The Bible says that the poor are rich in faith. Do you know why it says that? Do you really understand why the poor are rich in faith? Why aren't the rich rich in faith? Anybody? The rich got money. How does that affect your faith? Let me ask you something. If we all emptied our bank accounts today and started at zero, who's buying lunch tomorrow? Here's the deal. The less you have, the more you'll depend on God for. I don't care if it's your rent, if it's your candy bar, if it's your soda, if it's your car payment. If you don't have a job, man, you really got to trust God. Listen, the poor are so broke. Everything that they desire has to come from God. They don't have any other choice than to have faith. But the more we have, the less we ask God for. Let me ask you this. And don't raise your hand, but I just want you to think about this. Who wept last night in this building today? Who wept before God and said, God, please give me some bread for my kids in the morning? How many didn't weep? How many just said, Lord, give me some food for my kids in the morning? Lord, why? We didn't trust God for our food. Why? Because we already have it in our cabinets. There's so many things that we have in life that we've failed to trust God for because we already have them. You have a good job. When was the last time you asked God to keep your job? Oh, God, I thank you for my job. Lord, help me keep it. And you, when you went to work after 25 years of being in the company saying, the only reason I'm here today is because I have a merciful God. Amen. Hey, listen, it's the attitude that we have in the walk. And he says, listen, if we'll recognize, he said, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. It's when we recognize who we are and what we are. In other words, both of these people, the Bible, there's nothing wrong with being rich. God has blessed men. And he said, to whom much is given, much is required. There's a responsibility that comes with it, but he's simply saying this. We must maintain the right attitude, and that it is not us. It's not the fact that he is rich. When he recognizes the fact that he is rich, but he is as the fashion of the flower. And as it fades away, that's me too. And the poor, when he says, I just got to trust God, both of these men in the Bible realize that it's God. And in our walk with God, in our trial, when we recognize the fact, it's not my ability to be able to make it to the end that gives me triumph over the trial. The only one that ever makes it to the end of the trial is the one that asks God for faith, unwavering, and says, God, give me wisdom to make it. And God, through the Holy Ghost, is pouring that out. And the whole time that he's walking and he's struggling and he's facing adversity and he's being proved and he's having a cheerful endurance. And ouch, I stubbed my toe. And ouch, I fell down here. And he says, man, count it all joy in the proving. Ooh, I'm having a good time serving God. Ouch, man, I got bruised up here and I'm broken here and I'm going through. And God, I can't make it. Man, but you got money. But it's not me, it's Jesus. And you don't have any money. I know, that's why I'm trusting God the whole way. Oh, God, please, I need some wisdom. I need some help. And he says, give him a little bit more. Give him five. Now give him $100. Give him some more. Holy Ghost, help him. And all of a sudden you're making it through the trial and you're dragging through and you're like, I can't do this on my own. God, I need you. God, I need you. And I'm trusting God. And you know how God knows you're trusting him? Because you're still not back here. You're still moving forward in your adversity. And your attitude isn't this. As other people watch you walk through your adversity, I hate God. Why is God making me go through this? It's such struggle. Oh, preacher, help me. Woe is me. And I'm not having a good time being a Christian. No, this guy over here, the one that James is talking about, as he's facing his adversity, he says, boy, it's been tough, preacher. Oh, but God's been good. Man, I face adversities and I've got scars and I've got issues, but I ask God for wisdom. And Lord, he's been helping me. And let me tell you about how God, good God is, and how merciful he is, and how God hears my prayer. And preacher, I could never make it on my own, and I cannot testify in church Sunday morning. I want to tell the church about how good God is, and how God's been there for me in the whole adversity. And man, I got a smile on my face. Preacher, why are you so happy? Because God's been good. Yeah, but where's the joy coming from? It's coming from Jesus, because he's just pouring it out on me. That's living for God. That's where the joy's coming from. So as he's going through his adversity, he said the attitude in our tempting, the assurance in our trials, the allowance in our testing, how we're just letting God, he's given us a provision, and he's given us a promise that if we ask, he'll give it to us abundantly. But he says, look, here's the condition. If you're going to ask for faith in this trial, in this adversity, I don't want you to be unstable. You got to be firm. You got to have faith, recognizing that it's not you, that it's me. Have some humility. Trust God. Ask God. But look what he hears. This is my favorite part. And I'm done. I hate that I'm done, man. I got the whole book to preach. Look at this last one. He said there's a recognition, but there's a reward. Listen, what's it worth? Preacher, what's the point? Why make it to the end? How many times have I made it to the end? Somebody tell me. Nobody knows. I can't even tell you how many times I made it to the end. I don't know how many times you've made it to the end. Because it's not about you to know how many times I've made it to the end. It's just about you to know this. I want you to see my cheerful endurance. Why? Because next time you're going through an adversity and a trial and stuff that you call on God, you'll be like, if my preacher can be happy, Jesus, I know I can. I can do it, man. I can make it. Pastor, don't be discouraged, man. Don't be defeated. When you're studying the Word of God and you're all alone and there's no friends and ain't nobody called you in a while and you're just feeling like Satan's just trying to beat you up and you're fighting hell by the acre, man, just keep going. Just keep asking God for faith and, oh, God, give me wisdom to live for you. Help me, Father, to make it. Because there is an end point to the trial. There's a time when you got to pull it out of the fire, right? And listen to what he says. This is my look at verse, I'll finish 11, but we'll look at verse 12. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. But look at this, verse 12. We had a recognition, but look at the reward. Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That word blessed means is happy. Happy. In other words, James says this, I want to promise you something. You want to find happiness? Blessed is the man that makes it halfway. Is that what your Bible says? Blessed is the man that desires. No. My Bible uses this word. Blessed or happy is the man that what? Endureth. Amen. Endureth. Sayings like joy cometh in the morning. I mean, think about how many things that we know that, but on the other side. And when we start the adversity, when we start the trial, there's a lot of tears and there's a lot of suffering and there's a lot of heartache and stuff. But what's at the end? How about when you finish the race? How about when you break the finish line? How about when you reach the summit? How about when it's all over, when it's all finished and you got the end report? What lays there? Happiness, joy. Listen, he said, blessed is the man that endureth, what, temptation. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that endureth. That means abideth, remaineth, fleeth not. In other words, he's trying to tell us, listen, in your adversities, when you start fleeing, if you don't abide, if you don't remain, you're missing out on the joy at the end. But James is trying to say, you're going to face it. But I promise you, it's a promise from the Holy Ghost of God that if you abide till the end, that you'll find happiness. Blessed is the man that endureth. For when he is tried, not if. Listen, if you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, it's when. Every one of us have to face this right here. Not every one of us is going to make it to the end because we don't have the mindset to make it to the end. See, we don't have enough faith. We won't trust God. We won't allow ourselves to be overcome, Pastor. We get halfway through and we start quitting. We start bailing out because, listen, it's not easy. And you're justified to yourself. And you say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You're right, I don't. But he does. Amen. And listen, when he's pouring out his blessings from above And he's looking at the road ahead because he sees things that we don't. And he says that he giveth to all men liberally. He's not sitting here saying, man, that's going to be a rough road to hoe there. Yeah, just give him a little bit. That's not what he said. He's got a bountiful supply, and he looks at you. Mary, listen, when you're trying to go through the struggles, he gives you everything plus some.
Amen.
And you'll know, but what if I don't have what it takes, God? He's, oh, you got it. I gave it to you. I promise. So he says, blessed or happy is the man that abideth and that he endureth temptation, this trial, this adversity. For when he is tried or proven useful. Proven useful. Now, could this be something that God allows us to go through?
Right.
Maybe what you're facing is something God says, I put this in your life. I want to put you through the fire. Why? I want to prove you useful. Listen, there's only one way you're going to learn to trust me. And that's have faith and close your eyes. Trust in my abundant supply. You got to allow, James says, you got to let it happen. Don't stop. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, look at the reward, he shall receive. In other words, God says, I promise you that as we do this, you're going to receive this. This is what's going to happen. At the end of the trial, when you go through all that over here at the other end, this is where the happiness is. And you're gonna fall in love with God in the middle, and you're going to have faith, and you're going to learn to trust him, and you're going to build a relationship. But when you reach the end of that trial, which there is an end to, he said, you're going to be happy as the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive what? The crown of life. You want to know what it's like to live for Jesus? That's not a crown that we receive in heaven. You read your Bible. He says, for when we are tried, we receive it.
Amen.
I used to think that, man, I don't get that crown until I get to heaven. No, they're crowns that I'm getting now. And he says, hey, man, how many times have you made it through? I don't know, but every time I get there, man, I just get happier. And every time I get there, I'm starting to feel some joy, and he gives me the crown of love. You know what it is? To be crucified with Christ is to live. You don't know what life is until you've made it to the end and you've endured the temptation, the trials. He says, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to what? To them that love him. What did I title the message? Happy and in love with Jesus.
Amen.
You want to know why I'm so happy? I faced some trials in my life. I'm living for God. I face adversity all the time, and I get beat up. I weep, and I cry, and I get broken and discouraged. But the whole time, man, see, I've been through a couple of them, and I found he's faithful every time. And I get going through there, and I just have to say, oh, God, I need some wisdom. Lord, help me. And then I can feel the Holy Ghost of God come. What he just kind of gets around me, gives me some wisdom, says, let me tell you what God said. And I get encouraged, and I push on a little bit more. I say, God, I didn't make it too far that time. Oh, God, I need a little bit more. And all of a sudden, I feel the Holy Ghost of God. And I'm pressing on, and I'm plowing, boy. And I'm discouraged, and I'm defeated, and I left some friends behind. But I'm getting so close to God, and I love him, and I'm starting to see who he is. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, it got easier. And I realize I'm through my trial. And I'm thinking, boy, it's been good to be with God. I'm so happy. And I hear songs about the blood. And I hear songs about how he's my best friend. And how he loves me. And how he cares for me. And how he gave his life for me. And I'm just so happy. Why? Because I've lived my life for him. And he says, boy, that's living. I'm happy. And I'm in love with him. Because I've endured. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this morning. God, bless our service and be with the man of God as he preaches. Help those that sing, but God, most of all, deal with the hearts of your people. Lord, that we'd submit ourselves to you and just enjoy being saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.